University of California at Berkeley. Welcome to A Conversation with History. I'm Harry Kreisler of the Institute of International Studies. Our guest is the distinguished Japanese writer Kenzaburo Oe. His prolific body of novels, short stories, and critical and political essays has won almost every major international honor. Oe's achievements as a writer committed to both literary and humanitarian causes were recognized in 1994 when he was awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature. In works such as A Personal Matter, The Silent Cry, A Quiet Life, Hiroshima Notes, and A Healing Family, Oe's art moves from the personal to the political, exploring how the individual in confronting life's tragedies overcomes humiliation and shame to, in his words, get on with life, and in so doing finds personal dignity and a renewed sense of his responsibility to his fellow man. Mr. Oe, welcome to Berkeley.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Berkeley, I should say. Tell us about where you were born and grew up.
Yes, I was born in 1935 in a small island of Japanese archipelago. And especially, I must emphasize, the war between USA and Japan began when I was 6 years old. And then, 10 years old, I saw the war finished. So my childhood was during the wartime. That is a very important thing.
Were you the first writer in your family?
Oh, this is a very delicate problem. my family continued to live on almost I think 200 years or more than that. Then there are plenty of journals of my ancestors. So if they wanted to publish, I think they could be the first writers. But unfortunately, or fortunately, they didn't publish it. So I am the first man who published what I write. But my mother was always saying that you men of our family are always writing the same thing.
you have said in an interview, the act of trying to remember and the act of creating began to overlap, and that is the reason why I began to write novels.
Yes, and if I add something, I begin my writing by the method of imagination, or on the ground of imagination, and toward the imagination.
What books did you read as a young person that you remember?
Yes, I don't read many books before 9 years old. I was fascinated by the talking tales of my grandmother. So she was talking almost everything about in my family or in my district. So it was enough for me I didn't need any book on that time. But one day, there was some quarrel, some discussion between my grandmother and my mother. And my mother got up very early in the morning, and she packed 1 kilogram of rice. We eat rice. And she went to the small city of our island over the forest. And very late at night, she returned to my village. She gave a small doll to my sister and some cakes for my younger brother. And then she take out the two pocketbooks, Tom 1, Tom 2. And I found out Mark Twain's Huckleberry Finn. And I didn't know the name of Mark Twain or the name of Tom Sawyer or Huckleberry Finn. But my mother said, this is the first talk between my mother and I about literature. And almost the last talk between us. And she said, this is the best novel for child or for adult. And thus your father said. The year before my father passed away, then I brought this book for you. But the women who made a butter with rice between us said that be careful, the author is American. Now the war is going on between USA and Japan. Then the teacher, school teacher will take it off from your son. Then if your teacher asked you, who is the author? Then you must answer, Mark Twain is a pseudonym of a German writer.
You also read, according to your Nobel Prize speech, a book called The World Adventure of Niles.
That is a Swedish author, very famous feminine author, Lagerlöf, wrote that book. That is a book for the children of Sweden to study the atlas of their country. So Niels, a kind of trickster, is going through all of the country on the back of small goose. So that is also very, very fascinating. So in my childhood, only two books are dear, and also I continued to read them again and again. So I almost remembered all the lines of those two books.
And one line in particular stood out, which is this young person who rides the geese to tour the landscape. When he comes back, he says, I am a human being again.
Yes. He has become a very small boy by the fairy made it. So he couldn't believe in the possibility he becomes an original size of the human being. Then he returned to his house, and secretly he comes in the kitchen, and his father finds him. And then some very kind, humane passion occurs in him. Then very naturally he grows to the ordinary man's size. Then he shouts, oh mother, again I'm a human being. That is very important word to me.
You have called yourself a writer of the periphery, and in part you are referring to your origins, but you also mean more than that. Explain what you mean when you say, I'm a writer from the periphery.
Yes, I believe I was born in a small island, I said, and we are with Japanese, and our Japan is a periphery in the Asia. That is a very important thing. Our very eminent colleagues of Japan believes in Japan is a center of Asia, and even they think secretly Japan is the center of the world. But I think, so I always say that I am the writer of the periphery Japan, periphery district, and periphery Japan of Asia, and periphery country of this planet. This is, I'm with proud, I say that the literature must be written from the periphery and towards the center. And we can criticize the center, and also our hero or our theme or our imagination is that of peripheral human being. So the man who is in the center, who have not to write anything. So, and from the periphery, we can write the story of the human being, and this story can express the humanity of the center. So I think that when I say the word periphery, this is the most important creed of mine.
In The Healing Family, you quote Flannery O'Connor, when she speaks of the novelist's habit,
yes,
the accumulated practice.
Yes.
What is that? How would you explain to students what the habits of a writer are?
Yes. At first, the word habit is not a good word for artist and for young man. And so I must use the word habit precisely by the meaning of Flannery O'Connor. Flannery O'Connor got that word habit from her tutor, Jack Maritain, I believe. Jack Maritain was in Princeton at that time. I think Flannery O'Connor was born in 1925, and shortly after the war, Flannery O'Connor was doing a conversation through the letters with her tutor, Jack Maritain. And Jack Maritain was writing or talking about the notion of neo-Thomist. Thomas Aquinas was the most important figure for Jack Maritain. And in the notion of Thomas Aquinas via Jack Maritain, Flannery O'Connor found the word out. The habit is this: when as a writer I continue to write every day for 20 years or 30 years, then gradually the habit of a writer is molded in myself. I cannot be conscious about it, or I cannot be unconscious. But anyway, I have a habit to live on as a writer. So if I find out the crisis that I have never experienced, but on this first crisis, I can live on, or I can write something by the courtesy or by the power of the habit. Even the some soldier or farmer or fisherman can live on by the power of the habit when he meets the greatest crisis of his life. And we human being is living on, and we live on, and we create our habit as a human being. Then I think we can face the death, even though we cannot experience it before that, before. That must be the notion of Flannery O'Connor, and I am a student of Flannery O'Connor.
For you, it was the birth of your son was a turning point in the finding of your voice as a writer. And in fact, you've written 25 years ago, my first son was born with brain damage. This was a blow, to say the least. And yet, as a writer, I must acknowledge the fact that the central theme of my work throughout much of my career has been the way my family has managed to live with this handicapped child.
Yes, precisely. I wrote it. Yes. And when I was 28 years old, I believe my son was born. And when I was 28 years old, I am a writer, a rather famous writer in Japanese digital scene. And I was a student. I was a student of French literature. And I was talking in the voice of Jean-Paul Sartre or Merleau-Ponty. Then I was always speaking about everything of this world. But when my son was born with a very big damage in his brain, I found out one night I wanted to encourage me, so I wanted to read my book. That was the first time I read my book, all of the book that was written until that day. And I found out 2 days later, I cannot encourage myself through my book. Then anyone cannot be encouraged by my work. So I thought, I am nothing, and my book is nothing. So I am depressed very strongly. Then I was asked by a journalist who is editing the political magazine in Japan. And I went to Hiroshima, the place the atomic bomb was. Then there, on that year, the peace movement, anti-atomic bomb, in those assembly, there were very big fight between Chinese group or Russian groups. And I was only one independent journalist there. So I criticized both of them. And I found out the hospital of Hiroshima survivors. And there, in the survivors, a very great doctor, Shigeto, I found out. And with the conversation between Shigeto and the people in the hospital, gradually, I found out there's something that encouraged me. So I wanted to follow this sense that there is something. So I returned to Tokyo, and I went to the hospital of my son, and I talked with the doctors to rescue my son. Then I began to write about Hiroshima. Then that is a turning point of mine. And that was a kind of rebirth for myself.
And this, so there was an interplay between what you saw in the victims of Hiroshima and also, very importantly, the doctors who were treating the victims that somehow moved you to another level or another plane in dealing with your own personal tragedy.
Yes. And this Hito said to me, we cannot do anything for the survivors. Even today, we don't know anything about the nature of the illness of survivors. And even today, so shortly after the bombing, we don't know anything, but we did what we can do. Every day, a thousand of pupils dead, but amidst of the dead bodies, I continued. Then Kenzaburo, what can I do except that when they need our aid? Then now your son needs you, and you must find out anyone on this planet doesn't need you except your son. Then I understood it, so I returned to Tokyo and I began to do something for my son and for myself and for my wife.
We should say that your novel about which involves a protagonist called Bird,
yes,
confronting the birth of,
yes,
of a child, is called A Personal Matter,
yes,
and your essays on Hiroshima, yes, are collected in a collection called Hiroshima Notes.
Yes.
Now, I want to read you something that you say about Dr. Shigeto.
Yes.
His colleagues who were treating the patients, when the Hiroshima doctors pursue the A-bomb calamity in their imaginations, they are trying to see more deeply and more clearly the depth of the hell into which they too are caught. Mm-hmm. There is a pathos in this dual concern for self and others,
mm-hmm,
yet it only adds to the sincerity and the authenticity that we sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that in a way, you're seeing this duality,
mm-hmm,
in the doctor, you're saying, helped you see the complexity of the dilemma of Bird, the protagonist in your novel.
Yes, I think until then, my literary theme was a duality or ambiguity of human being that came from the existentialism in France. But I think I found out the true duality and how I can be so-called authentic. But the word authenticity must be not so adequate in my case, but I used the word from Jean-Paul Sartre. Anyway, I wanted to be, if I say, today in the other word, that's very simple, that I wanted to say, I wanted to be an straight, I wanted strictly stand up man. Now I cannot remember the important word, the Irish poet, most important poet,
Yeats
says in his poem, he says about the young man who stand straightly, straightforwardness, this kind of erect direct, vertically, this kind of person, this kind of young man I want to be. But I used that word, authentic.
Lionel Trilling, the critic, wrote that confessing to one's true feelings was one of the most courageous and valuable things a writer could do.
Mm.
And that's what you did in A Personal Matter.
Yes, I wanted to so, but on that time I don't think about the value of our standpoint. But anyway, I must write about myself, why not? I cannot live on, and my son also cannot live on, I felt. So when I was in a violent sea, I must rescue myself, and I must rescue my son. So I wrote that book, I think.
And your son went on to become a composer.
Yes.
And tell us a little about that. In other words, your family, in caring for him,
yes,
your wife, yourself, your children, over time identified an ability that he had to communicate. Tell us how that came about.
Yes, I think when until my son is 4 years or 5 years old, he doesn't do anything to communicate with us. And we thought that he cannot have any sense of their family. And so he was very, very isolated. He looked like a very isolated boy, like a pebble or grass. So, but one day, he was interested in the voice of the bird from the radio. So I bought discs of the wild bird in Japan, and I made the tape of 50 specimens of the bird.
Bird calls?
Bird calls.
Yeah.
And there's the bird calls and a very flat voice. Women announcer says the name of the bird. Tararara, then nightingale, tararara, sparrow. This is sparrow, this nightingale. Then we continued to listen to that for almost 3 years. And during those 3 years, when we play the bird song, my son became very quiet. So it is needed to make him quiet. My wife must do her work, and I must do my work. So with the bird voices, we three lived on. But on the summer of he was 6 years old, I went to the our mountain house, and while my wife is cleaning of our small house, I was in the small forest with my son on my shoulder. And then nearby there is a small lake, and a bird sang. A couple of birds, sang from the couples. Then suddenly a clear, flat voice said, "It's a water lake." Then I shocked, and utter silence in the forest. And so in 5 minutes or so, we are silent. And I prayed for something there on my head. I prayed that, please, the next voice of that bird, and please, next remarks of my son, if that is not my phantom or dream. Then after 5 minutes, the wife of that bird sang. Then my son said, "It's a water lily." Then I returned to my house running with my son, and I talked to my wife, and for a long time we waited for another voice, but there's not any voice during the night. And in the very early morning we kept we didn't sleep, but a very small sparrow came on the on a small tree in front of our window. And he made a small sound. My son, "It's a sparrow." Then everything began. And we found out, we played that the sound of the bird, my son answered. And we bought many records, even the bird of the USA or Europe, and my son answered very quietly and very correctly, if he listened to 2 or 3 times the name. Then we began to communicate by the word, My son is called Poo Chang Poo, from the Winnie the Pooh. Mm-hmm. Poo Chang, what is the bird? And the answer is the sparrow. Poo Chang, what do you want to listen to the voice? Then he thinks Otaret or Nightingale, and then we play it. Then we began to communicate, and my son was accepted from the school of the man retarded, the boy retarded. And then the teacher, very few teachers in this school, so they cannot take care of my son. So then they are always playing FM broadcast. So they are playing Bach or Handel. Then my son began to listen to the music. And after his concern to the music, he suddenly forgot almost all of the voice of the bird and the voice of the name of the bird. Then they began to study the piano. And then he continued to the lesson. But when he was 16 years old, he had a very strong fit, and he lost the sight of both eyes. One of the both eyes can see, but through the both eyes, he cannot see. So he cannot look at the piano and the music score. So he make a miss note. That is very uncomfortable for him. So he gave up the piano. But his mother taught him how to write the music. Then almost in 5 weeks, he began to write Bach, Johann Sebastian Bach, by pencil. Hmm. And at first that was very simple music, but in a year he began to compose his music by himself.
And now he's two CD discs, which you just said that you were able to buy on Telegraph here in Berkeley.
Yes, when 18 years ago I was in the Women's Faculty Club of Berkeley, University of Berkeley, California, Berkeley, there I was very deeply melancholic, and I was thinking about my son. But now, today's ago, I was thinking about my lecture of next Monday. I was melancholic, and I escaped from my room. I went to the Tower Record of the Durant Street, and I bought some disc CDs by Piazzolla or something. Then I wanted to check. I don't believe that is my sound discs, but I wanted to check the all corner of the composers, and I found out 2 discs of my son. And I brought it, and until morning I played it.
So your son, in a way, has fulfilled the dream of Niles, riding on the wings of birds, or in this case, their sounds.
Yes. So besides the bird, besides the big bird, my son can say, yes, I'm a human being, I'm a man, and besides the disc of my son, I thought that I'm a man.
You have written in The Healing Family that your son's music has shown you that the very act of expressing himself, that in that act there is a healing power. a power to mend the heart. Mm-hmm. And you go on to say, for in the music or literature we create, though we come to know despair, mm-hmm. that dark night of the soul through which we have to pass, mm-hmm. we find that by actually giving it expression, we can be healed and know the joy of recovering. Mm-hmm. And as these linked experiences of pain and recovery are added one to another, layer upon layer, not only is the artist's work enriched, but its benefit are shared by others.
Yes, if I add something to my comment there, after writing that essay, I experienced many questions to me, and many criticized me that Oe become very conservative now, and he is very quiet man, and he says his music healed him, and he can be healed by the CD of himself. But that is very negative and very conservative, they said. But I must answer that I don't say to be healed in Japanese. I think the verb heal must be used actively. You know, I heal myself. Something human being is healed by something that is a very positive deed of human being. So when I listen to the music of my son, I don't experience any passive deed. I feel I am doing something positive with my son. We are looking at the same direction. So if someone feels he's filled by the music of my son, even then I believe someone, a non-man, is looking at the same direction with my son. So he is positively healing himself with my son.
So that your son is in his own way getting on with his life,
yes.
as you say, and the example can inspire others,
yes.
help them get on with their lives and yes. heal themselves in the process.
Yes, precisely. So I want to do the same thing. My son's music is a model of my literature. I want to do the same thing.
Do you believe that a writer chooses his themes, or do they come upon him?
Oh, yes. I think Nadine Goldman once has written that we don't choose a theme or a situation or a story or everything. Just a theme choose us. That is the role of the writer in some time. The time, the days chooses us as a writer, so we must respond to the time, to our time. So I think I am, from my experience, I can say the same thing with Nadine Goldman. I didn't choose the story of handicapped son, or we didn't choose the theme of handicapped boy's family. I wanted to escape from that, if possible. But something chose me to write about it, or my son chose me. That is only one definite reason I continue to write.
You go on to say in another essay, the fundamental mm-hmm. style of my writing has been to start from my personal matters mm-hmm. and then link up it up with society, yes. the state, yes. and the world.
Yes. I think I am doing my works to combine, to link myself or my family with the society, or with the cosmos of the world. So to link with me, with my family, link my family to the cosmos is rather easy, because all of the literature has some mystic tendency. So when we write about our family, we can link ourselves to the cosmos, our cosmos. But I think I wanted to link myself, family, with society. So when we link ourselves to the society, then we don't write very personal matter, but we are writing the independent novel.
You say in The Healing Family that the lessons that you learned in making a handicapped child an active part of your family was an example in a way that teaches the individual how society at large should treat the handicapped, and that society, in essence, one can create a healing society through having a healing family.
Yes, I hope so. But I don't want to emphasize the role of the family of the handicapped boy. I don't want to emphasize individuality. And always, when we linked with the society, our individual family has the value, social value. So, if not, I think we can only write very personal matter through our experience. When I named my first novel based on my son as a personal matter, that I believe I knew the most important things. There is not any personal matter. We must find out the strong pipe between ourselves and to the society.
So what role should the writer play in the politics of his time?
Yes, to combine ourselves to the society, that is politics. That is my opinion. I don't need any role as a policy maker. There are some friends of mine who become the policy maker.
No, you don't want to be Henry Kissinger.
I was in a seminar of Mr. Kissinger, but Mr. Kissinger said in the Bye Bye Party, the very famous what is that? Mauritius smile or something. Very wicked rabbit make a smile in the cartoon like this. Wicked smile, yes. Mr. Always wicked smile, Mr. Kissinger said. I'm not a wicked person, but against the policymaker, sometimes I make a wicked smile. But I'm not a man of the policy or doing the politics, but from the real life of human being, I want to do something for the politics. So I must do something through my literature or my essay.
And what is that?
But now, I myself, personally, I believe, I can say in my very small voice, now I'm doing that.
What does a Japanese writer need to add to the discourse in Japan, given what has appeared to be an emphasis on materialism and a lack of values, which you have discussed in some of your essays?
Yes, I continued to criticize Japanese people's attitude in Asia and towards all of the world. Before the economical supply or economical great situation in Japan, and before even when we are poor, I began to criticize our attitude to Asia or to the, or of the world. And during the very, very prosperity of economics of Japan, I continued it. And after that, now our crisis, we are in the crisis of economics, and I must continue that. In Japan, we wanted to create a truly new national attitude after the, our defeat of the war. And for 5 years, we wanted to do that, and we wanted to create a democratic country, democracy, democratic man. But I think we gave it up, and 50 years passed. Now there is an atmosphere of anti-democracy in Japan. So they don't say that. If today, not yet, they say that ultra-nationalism must come back to Japan. But I feel the very ambiguous, but the genuinely dangerous atmosphere of nationalism is coming in our society. So now I wanted to criticize about this tendency, and I want to do everything to prevent the revival of fascism in Japan society.
Do you think that your novels and the humane themes that you focus on contribute to the climate of ideas so that fascism becomes less of a possibility?
Well, I think when I was in Hiroshima, my doctor said that when you cannot do anything, but you must do something. So I think if I can have some power to influence the young intellectual, I think we can organize some definite power. Because today's crisis is unconscious feeling of some ultra-nationalism in Japan, very ambiguous feeling or atmosphere. So we must, if we write about it precisely, and if we attack it, then I think Japanese young intellectuals can become conscious about this feeling. It is very important in the beginning, so I want to do.
So that in a way these intellectuals might confront these issues and help shape the public debate in the way that in a personal matter Bird confronts the reality that he has to confront.
Yes. Yes, so I want to ask the young men of Japan or young intellectuals, please confront to your reality.
A theme that I noticed in several of your books was a focus on youth. Nip the Birds talks about a youth gang where there are no values and the town has evacuated and so on. What special role do young people have to play, not just intellectuals, in shaping our ideas about the world?
Oh, yes. I finished my novel, and in the end of my novel, my hero is creating a new church that is not Christian, not Buddhist, but only they are doing something for the soul of him. They assembled young men, and the leader one day read a Bible in front of the people. and Ephesians, the letter of Ephesians. And in Ephesians, there are two words, new man. Jesus Christ has become a new man on the cross. Well, we must take off the old coat of the old man. We must wear a new man. So the only new man can do something. So you must become a new man. My hero hasn't any real program about the future, but he believes in that. We must create a human, new man, and the young man must become new man. We old man must mediate to create new man. So that is my creed. So I'm always thinking about the youth's role in Japan.
How would you recommend that students who might see this interview prepare for the future? First, to be a writer, and secondly, to have the kind of positive influence in defining a new man that you just mentioned?
Yes, I want to... at first, I hope the young man is uprighted, yes, and independent.
Like Bird.
Yes, and also in secondary, I hope they have imagination. The imagination is not the power to accept the other's image, but to create our own image, and also, more precisely, to reform the imagination which was given to us. So, to be upright and to have an imagination, it's enough for me to be a very good young man.
You have a quote, if I can find it, when you speak of Dr. Shigota,
yes.
And if I can leave you to comment on this. You say of Dr. Shigeto,
yes.
You write, without too much hope or too much despair,
yes.
He had simply dealt with the suffering as best he could, and he, and then you go on to say he was truly an authentic man.
Yes, yes. So, and my professor was a specialist of French humanism, and he always said to me, "What is a humanism? That is to be without too much hope, with too much desespoir." What is the English
word? Despair.
Despair, yes. Not too much despair, not too much hope. That is a model type of humanist today. That was my teacher's comment, and I said to Mr. Shigeto, and Shigeto said, yes, I know that through my life.
Thank you very much, Mr. Oe, for joining us today and sharing reflections on your work. And welcome back to Berkeley, and we hope you come again.
Thank you very much for your attentive question.
Thank you. And thank you very much for joining us for this conversation with history.